Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Chaf. We begin at the very first word, very top line. We continue to learn for the success of our Chayalim, for the success of all of Klal Yisrael's efforts and attempts to free the hostages, for Refuah Shleima, for all those in desperate need, and still for Nechama, for those Nevuch that have suffered terrible, terrible korbanos, losses that they've given on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Hashem Yinachem, Hashem Yirachem. Okay, now, we begin very top line, Chaf Amud Aleph. We're going to go through a bunch of cases that further discuss this concept that we had brought down in the Mishnah about damages that are done by shein, by eating, under what circumstances are you chayiv, and what circumstances are you not. So how barcha? Rashi says a barcha is an ez, the once was a goat. The Rebbeinu Chananel also brings down it could be a goat, but he also brings down a pshat that it's an ayil, a ram. In any event, you have this animal, mustama, a goat, that is going and eating by climbing up on top of a barrel. How barcha de chazo lifta apuma de dona? It goes and sees a turnip on the top of a barrel, and sarech, sircha is like a adhesion, so it claws its way up and salik to get the top of the barrel and starts to eat this lifta, this turnip that's on the top of the barrel. Achlo lifta, however, the tabre ledona. While eating this turnip, it goes and breaks the barrel. So what's the halacha? Are you chayiv or not chayiv? So chayvi Rava. Rava obligated the owner of this goat, of this barcha, to pay not only for the lifta, for the turnip, but adana, and also for the barrel, nesashol, to pay full damages. Now, we're obviously dealing here that it wasn't in the Rishus HaRabim, it must have been in the Rishus HaNizak, because we said that in the Rishus of the Nizak, you have no right to go and eat, and therefore, you chayiv full Nezek, the total value of the lefet that you have to pay. The question is, what about the barrel? This should be, after all, an unusual type of damage in that you don't expect the goat to go and eat the barrel. So why isn't this a tolda of keret? It should only chayiv chatzi nezek. Nevertheless, chayiv rova alifta vadana nezek shalei. So my taima, so kiven de orche lemecha lifta, since it is going to go and eat the lefet, that's normal food for this goat. So orche nami lesaruche. So it is natural for therefore it to go climb up on this barrel as well. And therefore you can't say this is an unusual type of damage. This is considered part of shein, and therefore you have to pay for the damage to the barrel, full nezek as well, as part of shein in the Rishus of the Nizak. That's the first case that we have. Another case, Amar Ilfa. Ilfa was one of the great Amarayim. We mentioned him many, many times in the Gemaras that we had in Noshim. There are a number of stories about him. In any event, Ilfa said, Behema b'Rishus HaRabim, if the animal was in the Rishus HaRabim, and Upashto Tzavara, the Ochla Mi'al Gabi Chaverta, and in the Rishus HaRabim, it went and ate from the back of another animal. So there was food on another animal, and animal one ate from animal two's food that was on the back of animal two. In that situation, Chayevis. Ilfa says that you would be Chayev. What's the reasoning? My time up. Because this is considered food in the Rishus HaRabim. This is considered food in the Rishus HaYochid, because Gabe Chaverta, the back of this animal number two that has the food on it, is considered like Kechatzar HaNizak Domi. It's considered like a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, this is as if you ate in the Rishus HaYochid, in the Rishus of the Nizak, and therefore, Yechayiv Nezek Shalim for Shein B'Rishus HaNizak. That's what Ilfa said. The Gemara now wants to bring a brisa to support him. Lema Masayle, let us support Ilfa, who's an Amora. He was a colleague of Rav Yochanan. Let us say that the following brisa supports what Ilfa the Amora said. The case is, Hoysa Kupaso Muvshelis Lechorv. If a man has a basket that he has slung over his shoulder behind him, and there's food in this basket, and an animal comes, Uposhto Tzavara, the Ochla Mimenu, and an animal comes along and stretches out its neck and goes and eats from this basket that has food in it that's slung over the shoulder of a man. So Chayevis, the owner of that animal is Chayev to pay. Isn't it because the basket hung over the shoulder of the man is like his Rishus HaYochid, and therefore we see that this is called Rishus HaNizak, and that's why you have to pay? Ah, the Brisa seems to be exactly supporting that which Ilfa said. Gemara says, Lav Dafka. No, you can't bring a Sarai from there. You could answer up this Brisa, the reason why you chayav to pay. We'll see, it's only Chatzi Nezek that you chayav to pay, because this is an unusual type of damage, as we'll see in a moment. Kidama Rava Vikofetsis, because Rava explained in another situation, which we'll learn in a moment, that it's talking about the animal jumping, which is an unusual way for it to go and eat. Some say it's jumping up on its hind legs. Others say that it's actually jumping up on top of something, and it's not eating in a normal fashion. So therefore, this is not going to be shein in the case that Rav is going to tell us. And therefore, so too over here, hachanami bikofetzes. This case that the Braisa brings, which we say that you're chayev, it's actually your only chayev is chatzi nezek, because this is the tolda of keren, an unusual damage, and not shein. And therefore, you chayev only chatzi nezek. That's what the Braisa is telling us. Now, where did Rava say this? What was the case that Rava said? Vehecho itma de Rava. So, aha, it's on the following case. The Amar Rav Hoshaya, the Rav Hoshaya said, Behemo b'shus harabim. If you're an animal that's in the shus harabim and it ate somebody else's food, holcha v'ochla p'turi. If it ate the other person's food while it was walking, that is considered normal. And this is shein b'shus harabim. And therefore, you're potter, p'tura. However, if it stopped, omda v'ochla, if it stopped and ate from the other animal, so then, chayeves, then you are chayev in this situation. The owner of the first behema is going to be chayev when the first behema stops and eats from the second behema, from the stuff, the food that's on its back. Now, why is there a difference between holcha and omda? Maishna holcha, what the reason that we say if the animal is moving, animal number one is moving and it eats its ptura, because da'archiyu, that's normal. So, after all, if that's normal, then omda, the ochla, is also normal. Omda nami urchehu. So why in this situation of omda, you chayeves? Obviously, it's not talking about a regular case of omda. And here's where Rava explained, Amar Rava Bikofet says that the animal is jumping up at the top Rashi. This isn't the normal way of eating. And therefore, the tolda, the kerenhu, it's a tolda of keren. And therefore, the chayeves chatzi nezek. When it says chayeves, it's talking about the chatzi nezek of tolda of keren that's tam. And therefore, it's only chatzi nezek and not full nezek as if it was shein birushus hanizak. So therefore, this brisa ultimately can't be used to support Ilfa. It doesn't negate what Ilfa said, but it can't be used to support what Ilfa said. I explained it to you pretty much the way the Mefarshim understand Rashi. There are other ways to understand this kofetzes. All of them are similar in that this is an unusual way of jumping, of doing things, and therefore, you're not going to be chayev for shein, but it's going to be a chatzi nezek of keren, that is a animal that was a tam, and therefore it's chatzi nezek. More asks another question. Boy, Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira asks the following shayla. Misgalgel mahu. Now, what are we talking about, misgalgel? So, Rashi explains that we're dealing here with the food that came from the Rishus HaYochid and the animal pulled it into the Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. Food that was in the Rishus HaRabim and the animal pulled it into the Rishus HaYochid. That's the way Rashi understands misgalgel. Tosas has a different understanding. In the top Tosos, he says, the ultimate question that Rav Zeira is asking is, do we go like from where the food was in the Rishus HaYochid, or do we go where it's eaten, which is in the Rishus HaRabim, and vice versa? The food was in the Rishus HaRabim, but it's eaten in the Rishus HaYochid. So that's the way Rashi understood this question. But Tosos doesn't like this because he said that is already asked and answered in a couple of daftim. So there, Tosos says, in the fourth line in the top Tosos, the fruits, the food was originally in the Shus HaNizak, and it rolls, and it's coming towards the Asul Shus HaRabim. But the animal ate it before it reached to the Shus HaRabim. If it wasn't for the fact that this animal ate it while it was still in the Shus HaYochid, it was about to reach the Shus HaRabim. And therefore, the question is, so that's the way Tosus understands it's this Megalgel. Do we say that it's where you stopped, in other words, where the animal ate it, or where it ultimately would have stopped, which would have been in the Rishus HaRabim? So, in any event, this is the question that Rav Zeira asks, Mizgalgel, in this case of Mizgalgel, like Rashi or like Tosos, what's the halacha? Now, the Gemara asks, Hechidame, what exactly is the case? Kigon, the kaima omir b'shus hayochid, you have this omir, and omir is a word that we use to describe straw. You have this bundle of straw that kaima b'shus hayochid, that is originally in the Rishus HaYochid. They call Mizgalgel v'osi Mishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. Even like Rashi says that the animal pulled it from the Rishus HaYochid where it was into the Rishus HaRabim and ate it there. Or like Tosa says that it started to roll, the wind blew it, but the animal ate it before it rested in the Rishus HaRabim, but it was about to reach the Rishus HaRabim when the animal ate it. My, so what's the halacha? Bein l'Rashi, bein l'Tosas' understanding of Mizgalgel, what is the halacha? So Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring a raya from the following braisa. The Tani Rabbi Chiya learned the following braisa, Masui, if you have a bundle, Miktsaso bifnim u'miktsaso b'chutz. You have half of the bundle in the Rishus HaYochid and half of the bundle in the Rishus HaRabim. And now an animal comes and eats it. Ochlo bifnim chayeves. If it ate that which is inside, chayeves. If it ate ochlo b'chutz, that which is in the Rishus HaRabim, it's ptura. Now, we'll have to understand this like Rashi and like Tosus in a second. But the Gemara first asks, my lav miskalgo v'osi. Isn't this talking about the Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, like Rashi, that it was originally in the Rishus HaYochid and the animal went and took it from the Rishus HaYochid and ate in the Rishus HaRabim? Or like Tosos, that it was going to roll from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and the animal ate it before it reached and stopped in the Rishus HaRabim. So isn't this Bryce that Rav Chiya taught, Ochla bifnim chayeves? So if it was still inside and eaten inside, so then you're chayeves. You go by where you ate it. And Ochla b'chutz, but if you ate it when it was outside, then you'd be petura. So Bein l'Rashi, Bein l'Tosos, we seem to answer it that you go by the place where it was eaten. So the Gemara says, Lav dafka, you can't bring a sarai from this Bryce of Rav Chiya. Lo. Because you could say, Ema, Ochlo Amashe Bifnin Chayeves, Amashe Bechutz Ptura. No, it doesn't have anything to do with where you ate it. It's if you ate that which was inside the Rishus HaYochid, so it's in the Rishus HaYochid. That's why you're Chayev. This is the Rishus HaNizak. And if you ate it in the Rishus HaRabim, then you're Potter, because it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're Potter. So you can't bring a Saraya to this question if it's Nizgalgel from this case. This case is talking about two separate eatings. One was eating in the Rishus HaYochid, half of it was in the Rishus HaYochid, and that half you'd be chayiv for. And the half that was in the Rishus HaRabim, that half you'd be potter for. So that's the first reason why we can't bring a raya from this Raisa to the question that Rav Zeira asked. A second teretz, Ibai Seima, that which this Raisa is bringing down, Kikam Rabbi Chiya, in this Raisa, is Bipsila the Aspasta. Now, Aspasta is a certain type of animal fodder that is very long. Rashi explains bipsila. We call it bipsila. Anything that is very long, alshem de'aruchu karlipsila. It's like a wick. It's something that's long. So therefore, this single aspasta is both in the Rishus HaYochid and in the Rishus HaRabim. So in this situation, where you ate it is the critical factor. If the animal is eating it inside the Rishus HaYochid, so then it's chayev even for that part of the aspasta that was in the Rishus HaRabim. And if the animal's in the Rishus HaRabim, so then even if it eats the part that's in the Rishus HaYochid, since it's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, you're chayiv in that situation. But you can't bring us any raya to the case of Rav Zeira of Mizgalgel. Bein l'Rashi, bein l'Tosfos. Okay. Then we have the Mishnah, Ochlo, Kisus, v'chulei. If the behema ate a Kisus, or it ate some sort of a kli, which are not normally edible things, so we had said, the halacha is that it depends. If it was in the property of the Nizak, then you're going to be chayiv. If it was in the property of the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be potter. And the question was, this statement, in the Rishus HaNizak, you're chayiv, in the Rishus HaRabim, you're potter, does it go on this case of Ksus, or did it go on the previous case where we're dealing with Shane? So, ahai. So now the Gemara is asking that question. Is it going on everything? Amar Rav Akulu. Rav says it goes on everything. In other words, as Rashi points out, Hodik Tani Masnisin Birshus HaRabim Ptura Birshus HaNizak Yechayiv Akulu Koi. It goes on everything. Not only on the case of Shane, of eating food, you're chayiv if you eat from the Rishus HaNizak, you're potter if you eat it in the Rishus HaRabim, but afilu aksus v'kelim, even when the animal eats the ksus and the kelim, the garments and the utensils that aren't food, the shinoi hava, the told of the karen, even in that situation, Rav says it all depends where it is. In the Rishus HaRabim, you're not going to be chayiv. You're not chayiv for karen in the Rishus HaRabim because you have a right to be there, and therefore that person shouldn't put his utensils there. And in the Rishus HaNizak, of course, you're going to be chayiv, but you're going to be chayiv as a told of Karen, chayiv chatzi nezek. And Rav's explanation is explained, as I just said, my timer, because kol mishane uboacher rishina bo potter, because in the Rishus HaRabim, your animal is mishane by eating something that it shouldn't eat. It's eating something that's inedible. It's eating clothing or utensils. However, this person shouldn't have put it there. He's mishane, as Rashi says, kegon zeshi niach ksus over kelim Rishus HaRabim. Don't leave your clothing or your utensils in the Rishus HaRabim. Of course they're going to get broken. So since you were somewhat negligent, then even though the animal is doing something that would be a told of Karen, we don't make the animal's owner be chayiv in that situation for chatzi nezek. So Rav says that this statement, it depends where it is. In the Rishus HaNizak, you're chayiv. In the Rishus HaRabim, you're potter, goes not only on Shane, but it also goes on Karen. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, no. That which we said, it depends whether it's in the shus of the Nizak, Yechayev, and in the shus of the Rabbim, you're going to be potur. So lo shanu ela peres v'yirakos. That's only for food. However, avoksus v'kelim chayevis. If you did an unusual type of damage, a tolda of Karen, by eating, having your animal eat this ksus, the clothing, or the utensils, you would be chayeves, chatzi nezek, of Karen in the Rishus HaRabin. Now, this is Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, but we had a similar Machlokas in Eretz Yisrael between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, V'chein omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds like Rab, Akulu. He says that the statement of the Mishnah goes on both cases of Shane and on Karen, that you're only going to be chayev in the Rishus of the Nizak, but you're not going to be chayev in the Rishus HaRabin. And the reasoning is, Yazar Reish Lakish Taimei. Reish Lakish has support for him from the following. The Omer Reish Lakish, you have a scenario of Shtei Poros B'Shus HaRabim. You have two cows in B'Shus HaRabim. Achas Revutza, one of them is crouching. The Achas Melechas, the other one is walking. And they damage each other in the following way. Boata Mehaleches B'Revutza. If the one that is walking kicks the one that's crouching, it's in its way and it gives it a Zetz. So then Ptura. Why is that? Because the animal doesn't have a right to go and crouch. This is similar to what Rav had said. If you do something mishuna in the Rishus HaRabim, so then even though the other one does something mishuna, which is the tolda of Karen, which is kicking be'ita, so the fact that the other animal was crouching there caused this animal to kick it, and therefore patura. However, if the one that was crouching, who had no reason to go kick the one that was walking, kicked the one that was walking, revuta b'maleches chayevetz, then you are going to be, the owner is going to be chayev in that situation to pay for the damages that the crouchy one went and kicked the one that was walking. So this is Reish Lakish holding similar to Rav. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, holds like Shmuel. Rav Yochanan Mar, lo shanu ela peros v'yirakos. The only time the Mishnah says that you're chayev in the Rishus HaNizach, but you're potter in the Rishus HaRabim, is for shein, for eating something that's edible, peros v'yirakos. However, avoksus v'kelim, things that are inedible, and your animal ate it, that's a tolda of Karen, and even in the Rishus HaRabim, chayeves, chatzi nezek if it's a tam. Now, does that mean that Rav Yochanan disagrees with the two paras case that Reish Lakish brought down? Lema Rav Yochanan less lay the Reish Lakish. I feel like they paras. Does Rav Yochanan disagree with Reish Lakish's understanding of the case of the two paras? Would he say that you're going to be chayev in both cases? So Gemara says no. Li'olam, in fact, Rav Yochanan agrees with the two paros cases with Reish Lakish. Li'olam islay, he in fact holds like Reish Lakish and says that the revutza that went and kicked the maleches is chayeves, but the one that is walking, if it kicks the revutza, it's not going to be chayeves. Why? What's the difference? Because kisus adi inish demanche glimim mitzvche. Because in the case of the utensil, the reason why Rav Yochanan said that you're going to be chayev is because it's normal for a person to leave his utensils, his garments in the Rishus HaRabim. He puts them down to rest, so it's normal to do that. But it's not normal for an animal ever to sit down in the Rishus HaRabim. A car stops in the middle of the road, that's not normal. You pull over to the side and you park over there. If you park in the middle of the road, somebody hits you, you can't say, well, I have a right to be here. You don't have a right to park there. Avul Behema, Rav Yochanan says, the Behema doesn't have a right, Lav Urche, to go and suddenly do Revutza, to go and squat in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. So if the other animal comes along and this animal that's squatting is in its way, and it gives it a zetz, it gives it a kick. So therefore, in that situation, even Rav Yochanan would admit to Reish Lakish that you're going to be potter. This is, since one person did something mishuna, the other person that does something mishuna comes along and does a tolda of Karen, he's going to be potter in that situation. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the bottom line is, however, the im nanas mishalemes v'chule. If the animal that ate shein in the Rishus HaRabim, so you still have to pay something. You have to pay for the hanah that you got. Now, what do we mean you pay for the hanah? What does that mean, the kama? So when I said the Mishnah, so I learned it like the first version over here of Rabbah, but there's another version of Rabbah that we could learn it as well, which we're going to do right now. So how do you go and figure out how much that animal benefited by eating, by doing shein in the Rishus HaRabim? So you have to pay something. You don't have to pay the full damages. Everybody agrees you don't pay the full damages. So if he ate $100 worth of a very expensive food, you don't have to pay $100. But Rabbah says, Rabbah Omar Demei Omir, you'd have to pay him for that amount of food that you save by not having to give him lunch. In other words, he ate $100 worth of caviar. He ate $100 worth of a very expensive wheat. No, you would have had to give him straw. So therefore, the value of the store is $5. The fancy weed is $100. So you have to pay Dimei Omer. He would have had the expense of giving his animal lunch. So therefore, he would have had a $5 expense for Omer. So that's all you have to pay. Not the $100 damage that you did, because this was in the Rishus HaRabim. And the animal has a right to go and eat stuff in the Rishus HaRabim. But since you would have had to pay for lunch anyway, so at least go give the Dimei Omer, Rabbah says, to the owner of the food that your animal ate. On the other hand, Rabbah says a little bit different. Rabbah Mar Dimei Sorim Bezol. Yes, the barley, you wouldn't have fed the animal barley. You would have only fed the animal Omer, straw. No. But if you could have gotten barley at a good price, that's better for your animal. So the barley here costs $100. But if you could have gotten it for 2/3 the value, you would have said, yeah, I buy the barley for 2/3 the value, give it to my animal rather than giving it Omer. So therefore, Rabbah says, you pay 2/3 of the value, Dimei Sarim Bizol, the cheaper value, which Rashi explains is going to mean kishar shebesuk. If you didn't have to pay the full price in the market, but you could get it at a discount, Bizol, you would have given it. And Rashi says this comes out to Shnei Shlishi Adomim. This is 2/3 of the value. So if you would have paid $66, you would have been happy with it. So now you have to pay $66. The fact that your animal ate the $100 barley, so you're going to pay $66 2/3. So that's what you have to pay. So Rabbah says you have to pay more than Rabbah. Rabbah says you just paid for the expense of lunch. So the straw would have been $5. That's what you have to pay. Whereas Rabbah says you don't have to pay $100, but you have to pay 2/3 of the $100 because that's what you would have been happy with if you could have purchased it at that lesser price of 2/3. So therefore, that's what you have to pay. We have a Tanya Kavosi the Rabbah, Tanya Kavosi the Rabbah. We have Brisa support, Tanoic support for the statement of Rabbah, Omer, and for the statement of Rabbah, Sa'orim Bezol. Tanya Kavosi the Rabbah, first we have the Brisa in support of Rabbah. The Brisa states, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omar, Ein Mishalemis El Dimei Omer Bovad. Oh, he says exactly like Rabbah said, that you only pay the value of lunch. You would have given the animal straw, this Omer. No, it ate $100 worth of barley. Not your problem. You just would have to pay the $5 for the straw. That's the Brisa that is exactly like Rabbah that is brought down in the name of Shimon Yochai. We have a Brisa in support of Rabbah. Tanya the Kavasi the Rabbah that says Sa'orim Bezol, because the Brisa says Im Nanis Mishalemis Mashinanis. The Brisa says that if the animal did get benefit, you have to pay for the benefit that the animal got. How do you determine that, Ketzad? So Ochlo Kav O Kabayim. If the animal ate a Kav or a Kabayim's worth, certain measures worth of the barley, say, ain't no mim to shalim demam. We don't say you have to pay the full value of the barley, the $100. El omdim kam odim rotsi lahachil livhemto dovah royla afabish ain't no rogil. How much you would be willing to pay for your animal to eat this better food because it's better, but you don't want to pay the full price for it, but you would pay a lower price for it, then you would be happy to give it. Oh, that's the 2/3 value. And therefore, this price is in support of what Rubber said. And this Brisa adds on. Therefore, lefikach, according to this opinion, achlachitin odav haralo ptura. If it was eating something which, while edible, is not something that's good for it, the animal doesn't know what's good for it or not. It eats the wheat. Actually, it's bad, the wheat, for the animal. Barley is good for the animal. Omer is okay for the animal. Wheat's bad for the animal, but wheat's more expensive. Oh, any other edible thing, dover harala, something which will cause it discomfort, something which will make it not be able to work. You'll have diarrhea. It won't be able to work. In all of these situations, ptura, because you wouldn't be willing to pay 2/3 of that value. It's bad for the animal. So the chumra over here that you have to pay 2/3 is also cooler, that if it ate something, albeit expensive, that isn't worth your paying a lower price for because it's detrimental to the animal, then you actually are ptura. You don't pay anything. Whereas Rabbah would seem to say that you still pay how much you saved for not having to give your animal lunch. Okay. Another question. Amalei Rav Chista l'Rami Bechama. Rav Chista said to Rami Bechama, Lo havis gabon bi'urto b'tchuma. You weren't with us when we were at the Tchum. You were outside the Tchum. Some of this is talking about Shabbos. And you were outside the Tchum and you couldn't come to the place where we were all learning. The Aruch brings down that the Beis Medrash is called the Tchum and he wasn't in the Beis Medrash at the time. Others say that the Beis Medrash was out of town normally. So this way, multiple towns could reach it. And Rami Bar Chama was unfortunately not in that area within the Tchum that you can walk on Shabbos to get there. And therefore, Rav Chista tells Rami Bar Chama, you weren't with us in the Beis Medrash because it wasn't within your Tchum, or you just wasn't with us in the Beis Medrash for whatever the reason, and you missed out the boy alone milim aisa, and we had lots of good discussions over there. It's a shame that you missed it. No, Rami Chama's interest is piqued, and he says, Omar, my milim aisa. No, what'd you learn in the Beis Medrash? So Rav Chista tells him, Omalei, Hador b'chotzer chaveiro shlomi daito. If Reuven lives in Shimon's field without, in his chatzer, without Shimon knowing about it. So Reuven is living there without Shimon knowing about it. Others explain, not that he didn't know about it, but he didn't protest. So what's the halacha? Does Reuven have to pay rent for staying overnight in that yard? Or does he not have to pay rent? And they asked, hey chidami, what exactly are the circumstances over here? If it was ilema b'chotzer de lo kaim liagra, if this field that he was in, this chotzer, this yard that he was in, it's not normally rented out. And this guy, Reuven, had plenty of other places to stay. The garbage de lo avid lemegar, he wasn't looking for a place to rent. So Reuven's not looking for a place to rent, and Shimon doesn't normally rent this place. So this is a classic case of ze lo nene v'ze lo chotzer. He didn't lose anything. Shimon didn't lose anything. He wasn't renting this place out. And Reuven wasn't gaining anything. He had plenty of other places he could sleep. He just stopped over here and he slept over here. So this is the case of Zelo Nene, Zelo Chaser. So of course you don't have to pay. That can't be the case that we're talking about. That wasn't the question that was raised. You're going to tell me, Ella, Bechotzer de Kaim Liagra. Yeah, this is a hotel. And Shimon rents out that room. The Garba Dov Lemegar. And Reuven needed a room. He didn't have any other place to stay. And he would have been willing to pay for a room. But instead, he just went into that room without paying. So then, this is the case of Zeh Nene. Reuven is benefiting. Zeh Chaser. And Shimon's losing because nobody else can rent that room because somebody's sleeping in there. So a guy came, a guest came and said, I'd like to rent the room. And somebody's sleeping. They said, no, go to another hotel. So this is a classic case of Zeh Nene, Zeh Chaser. Reuven is benefiting from this staying there without paying, and Shimon is losing from Reuven staying there without paying, so of course he'd have to pay. So this is a classic case, Zeh Nene, Zeh Chaser. So obviously that can't be what it's talking about. So the first case where Zeh Lo Chaser, Zeh Lo Nene, certainly can't be talking about that, you wouldn't have to pay. And in case of Zeh Nene, Zeh Chaser, you certainly wouldn't be talking about that because you certainly have to pay. So what is the other possibility? Lo Tzricha, we're dealing here with a case, B'chotzer de Lo Kain Liagra, Shimon isn't renting this out. However, the Garbo de Ovid Lemega, but Reuven needed a place to stay. He didn't have another place to stay, and therefore he would have been happy to go and rent this place. But he didn't. He didn't pay for it. So this is the case of Zeh Nene, Zeh Lo Chaser. So Reuven is getting benefit, but Shimon isn't losing anything. My, what's the loch in this situation? Do we say, Motzi Omale, Reuven can say to Shimon, my chasartich, I didn't cause you any loss. You weren't renting this place out anyway. Or can Shimon say to Reuven, O Dilma, Matzi Omar, Shimon can say to Reuven in return to Chav Omud Beis, Ha Ishanis, hey, listen, you benefited, so you should pay me what you benefited. Now, Tosus, by the way, points out, in Dibra Maskul, Zeh Nene, Vein, Zeh Ein Chaser, who, so he says, there was another possibility over here as well. And he says, what about the case of Reuven saying, I have other places to stay, and Shimon going and renting it out? And he says, I lost the rent because you were here. So this is a case of Reuven saying, I didn't get any hanah, and Shimon saying, I had a loss. So Tosus points out that in this situation, also, it would be potter. Albeit, the Vilna Gaon brings down that the Rif disagrees with this Tosus, and so does the Rosh, and therefore this would be a machlokes in terms of halach lemaisa. But in any event, our Gemara doesn't discuss this case. Our Gemara discusses only the case of Zeh Nene v'zeh lo chaser. Reuven got benefit, and Shimon did not lose anything because he wasn't renting it out. What is the halacha? So that was the question. The Rav Chisda said this great question that they had discussed in the Tum, and it's a shame that Rami Bechama missed it. So Amalei, so Rami Bechama says to Rav Chisda, hey, the answer is very simple. Masnisini, it's our Mishnah. So Rav Chisda says, which Mishnah? Hi, Masnisin. So Rami Bechama says, it's a little bit of a lighthearted comment. I'm not going to tell you until you do me some sort of service. Amalei, when you do some sort of a service for me, so then I'll tell you. In other words, when you make me your Rebbe, and since I'm your Rebbe, you're going to accept this teretz a little bit more, with a real understanding of it, rather than if you're just chavrusa talking to each other, maybe he's not right. So therefore, make me into your Rebbe by doing something for me, and therefore you'll accept my teretz much better. So, okay, Ruchisa says, fine, I want to know the teretz. Shokal sudre karchle. He took his kerchief and he folded it up for him. Okay, so now he did some avoda for him, and Ruchisa says, Rabbi Chaman, what's the teretz? Which Mishnah? So Amalei, he says, Imnanis Mishalemis Mashananis. Our Mishnah that said, if the animal got benefit, albeit it was in the Shusa Rabbin, so therefore you go and have to pay for the benefit you got, either like Rabba or like Rava had said. Now, this teretz is somewhat problematic, as Rava remarks. Amar Rava, kama lo chale v'lo margish garva demari saye. Rashi explains, a very cute lashon over here. He says that look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and protects such a person. Like Rami Bar Chama, as Rashi says in Dibra Maskel, the Avogad Loramia. He didn't really answer the question from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about a different scenario than the case of the Reuven who squatted in Shimon's property and didn't pay for it, whereas Reuven got an oar and Shimon wasn't renting it anyway. So he said, that's not the case of our Mishnah where the animal A ate the food of animal that was on the back of animal B, then we say you have to pay the hanor that you got. So I'm a rubber. This person, Rami Racham, didn't have any problems over here, even though he didn't give the right answer. Because the avogad de lo domi lemasnis and kavlimine, even though it really wasn't the case of our Mishnah, nevertheless, Ruchista accepted it. Now, why wasn't it like our Mishnah? Because, hi, zenenev is a choser. In our Mishnah, the animal ate the food. Okay, that's Reuven getting benefit from not having to pay for it. But the Zechoser, in the case with Shimon, Shimon wasn't renting it out. But in our case, in the Mishnah, the guy lost the food that the other animal ate. So this is a case of Zenene v'Zechoser. It's not a case of Zenene v'Zelochoser. So Rava says, it's just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Rami Rechama that Ruchista accepted this. No, what was Rami Rechama thinking? For Rami Rechama, what was he really thinking? He said that it was comparable. He said, "Stam Paris v'Shus Arabim if Kure Mafkilu." He says, when you have Paris in the Shus Arabim, you're essentially giving up on them. And therefore, Rashi says, "V'lo chiser mide the hasof v'le'ibud." When you put your Paris and your ruckus in the Shus Arabim, you essentially know they're not going to stay. They're going to get eaten up. They're going to get trampled on. They're going to get destroyed. And you're willing to give them up for whatever the reason. Or you take your chances. And therefore, this is a case of zenene v'zelochoser, because this case in the Mishnah, he was essentially not losing anything because he already gave up that he was ever going to get those value of those fruits and vegetables. So therefore, it's exactly analogous, Rami Bachama says, to the case of Reuven sleeping in Shimon's yard where Shimon wasn't renting it out. And Reuven would have rented it out, but didn't have to. And therefore, zenene v'zelochoser. So Rami Bachama says the two cases are exactly the same. No, what's the answer? According to, if you don't accept Rami Bachama and you hold like Rabba, that it's not the same case, so what is the answer to the question of Zenene v'Zelochoser? So we're going to spend the rest of the shiur today trying to figure that out. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Bava Basra. The Mishnah there says, Hamakiv Chavir Mishol Shuchosov. We have a diagram of this in Rashi, in the art scroll, in footnote number 7. There's a slightly easier to read diagram, but the one in Rashi that we have is perfectly good once you understand it. And that is Reuven owns 3 plots of land that surround Shimon. So he owns a plot of land to the east, a plot of land to the west, and a plot of land north of Shimon's property. So he surrounds him on 3 sides. And he builds a fence in between his property, Reuven's property, and Shimon's property, on the east side, on the west side, and on the north side. So he surrounds him on 3 sides. Hamekiv chaveiro mishol shuchosav. And then Reuven also owns the property on the southern side, on the 4th side. So when Reuven builds fence number 1, fence number 2, and fence number 3, he builds the eastern fence, the western fence, and the northern fence, and so we don't say that Shimon has to go and help pay for any of the costs of those fences. Shimon can say, listen, you didn't do me any favor. I still am open on the other side. I'm not fenced in. I'm not protected. Therefore, your building a fence over there protects you, but doesn't do anything for me. And therefore, I'm not paying anything for those 3 fences. However, when Reuven goes and builds the 4th fence on the 4th side, on the southern side, Horevius Mechayven Oso, then the Mishnah in Bava Basra says that Reuven can force Shimon to go and pay for the fences. Now, isn't that a case? Shmamino Zenene V'Zelochoser Yet Chayev. In this situation, Reuven is not being hurt in this situation, because he's doing it anyway. And Shimon is benefiting. So Shimon's getting benefit. And Reuven is not being hurt because he's putting up the fence for his own. And nevertheless, you see, Zenene V'Zelochoser Chayev. So you can force Shimon. So therefore, in our case, Reuven would be forced to go and pay Shimon in the case of sleeping in his chatzar, even though Shimon wasn't renting it out because Reuven was getting anah. So to over here, Shimon is going to be forced to pay Reuven in our case, because even though Reuven is paying for it and he's not losing anything, so to say, Shimon is getting benefit. And this is the case of Zenene, V'Zelochoser, Chayev. So the question is asked and answered from the Mishnah in Bava Basra. Mor says, no, not necessarily so. That case is different because Shiny, awesome. In that case, in Bava Basra, the guy on the outside, Reuven, If there was no Shimon, says, I don't need any inner fences. So Reuven is saying, you are causing me a loss. The fact that you're here, Shimon, is making me go and build an inner fence on the east, west, north, and south. If you weren't here, I just would have to build my outer perimeter fences. I wouldn't have to do anything if it wasn't for you. So Shiny Hoss, in that case, is different. The Amalei, Reuven can say it to Shimon, at Garantli Hakefi Yisera, you're forcing me to make all these inner fences. If I own that land in the middle, then I would just have to make the outer fences. I wouldn't have to make an inner fence because it would be all my property. But the fact that you're here, you're causing me a loss. And therefore, it's not a case of zeh neneh v'zeh lo chaser. It's a case of zeh neneh v'zeh chaser. And that's why you're chayiv. Toshma, we learned at the end of that mission above Bava Basra, Amar Yossi, Rav Yossi adds, and he says, im amad nikof, if the one who was fenced in, Shimon, went on his own, the Goder et Sarvias, and he fenced in the fourth side on his own. So then not only does he pay for the fourth side, which he did on his own, but now we make him pay back for sides 1, 2, and 3. Magalgin lovas hakol. Why? Taima the Godar Nikov. That's because he went and fenced it in. Implication being that if Reuven had fenced it in, Hamakiv Potter, and we would learn Shmamino Zenen is El Choser Potter. So here we learn the exact opposite from Rav Yossi to suggest that only because Shimon enclosed it himself does he now have to pay. If Reuven had enclosed it, then Shimon wouldn't have to pay because Shimon could say, listen, you didn't cause any extra loss of money because doing this. You're doing this for yourself. So you didn't lose. No, I benefited. Zenen, if Zalachasar is potter. Mor says, no, you can't bring a ride from there as well. Shiny Hustle, that case in Bava Basra is different. Why? Because the Omar lay, because he can say, Lididi, Sagali Benetira Barzuza, because Shimon could say, listen, I would have been very happy to have a very, very plain and simple fence of thorns and thistles. I would have been very happy to have a very, very simple plain fence. You built a nice, fancy stone fence, so that's your call. So you have to pay for it. Whereas once he builds, if Shimon builds a fancy stone fence, then he can no longer say, listen, I only wanted to build a thorn and thistle type of a fence, and now you built this stone fence, I don't have to pay for it. No, you, Shimon, built a stone fence, so you've shown that you want to go and have a stone fence. But until you go and do that, so then in this situation where you just built a thorn and thistle type of a fence, this is a case where you could say, listen, I didn't want the stone fence, and therefore I don't have to pay for it. So that case is different. Try again. We're trying to still answer. Zenen evzal chaser. Toshma. Habayez v'aliyah shol shnayim shenoflu. You have a two-story building. The bottom story is owned by Reuven, and the top story is owned by Shimon. Two different people own the bottom and the top of the building. And the building never collapses. It falls down, and there's no building. There's no bottom floor. There's no top floor. So, Omer v'aliyah, Shimon, the guy who owns the top floor, can say to Reuven, the guy that owns the bottom floor, leave it knows. Go and build it. Go and build your bottom floor so I can build my top floor. However, Reuven, the guy on the bottom floor, Reuven Rhodes, he says, nah, listen, I don't have the money right now. I'm not interested in building the bottom floor. So therefore, the top floor guy, Shimon, has the right, Hare Balu Aliyah, Bona Bias, he can go build the bottom floor and the Yoshe Bar, Ashitin Lo Yitzyosa, and can live in it without having to pay rent. Because the bottom floor needs to be created in order for him to build the top floor. So he built the bottom floor, he gets to use the bottom floor. And all, eventually, Reuven is going to have to pay him for is the outlay, if and when Reuven says, okay, now I want it, so then he has to pay him for the outlay, but he doesn't have to pay him rent. It's Yosef who the Mechayev lay, Balabais. Reuven is going to have to pay for the cost of building the bottom floor, but he can't deduct from it, Haschar Olo. He can't go and deduct the rent that Shimon had the benefit of living there all that time. Oh, Shmamino, Zenenev Zelochoser, Potter. You see over here that Reuven wasn't losing any money. He didn't want to build it. So therefore, he's not Choser anything. So even though Shimon is benefiting by now having the ability to live in that bottom floor, this is the case of Zenenev Zelochoser and Potter. Oh, that answers our question. Where it says again here, you can't bring us a ride from this answer because Shiny Hossam, here it's different because you can't have a top floor without a bottom floor. The basal aliyah mishtabe, the bottom floor is an essential for the top floor. You can't have a top floor if you don't have a bottom floor. So therefore, that's why that case is that he doesn't have to pay for the rent. But any other situation, you can't bring us a ride as an enemy of the that it's part two. Try again. Toshma. From that very Mishnah, we have another opinion there, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda adds on to that Mishnah, Bava Basra, Rav Yehuda Omer, Av zeh hador bechotzer chaveiro shelo midaito. The rule is that if somebody lives in the chotzer of his friend without das, sarich lahalus lo schar. That in this situation, Shimon, who's living there without das, doesn't mean he doesn't know, means without permission, because Reuven can say, no, I don't want you to live there. So nevertheless, he has to pay him rent. Shema mina, zenenev zelachaser chayiv. According to Yehuda, zenenev zelachaser, in fact, it would be chayiv. Moshe says, no, there's no raya from there as well. Because by Reuven saying, listen, I don't want you living over there, it's because you're ruining the apartment somewhat. Shani hasa, mishum shachurisa, the ashyasa. Because by Shimon living there, so he's going to cook there, and he's going to blacken the walls. And since this was never lived in an apartment, it never lived in an apartment is more valuable than in a lived-in apartment. No, once somebody already lived there, so then additional living there doesn't necessarily ruin it. But if it's never lived in, so Reuven can say, now that you're living in it, you're costing me. So it's this a case of zenene v'zechaser. And therefore, that's why you have to go and pay me. But it's not a case, you can't bring us a raya, zenene v'zechaser, that you're potter. So it can't bring a raya from this Mishnah in Bava Basra, either from the Reisha or from the Sefer, to our question of zenene v'zechaser, what is the halacha? How do we paskin? Shalchua bei Rav Ami. They asked this question, Zenene v'zelochaser to Rav Ami, and Omar, and he said, V'chi me'osolo, umachisro, umahiziko. Listen, the guy that is not being hurt, he's not being hurt. What was done to him? What loss did he have? What damage did he have? As long as you can answer all of those questions, that he wasn't chaser at all. So then, potter. That's what Rav Ami said. Rav Chiya bar Abba Omar, nisyashi b'dover. I got to think about this. I'm not sure what the answer is. In other words, I'm unclear. Another day, they asked him again, what's the halacha? And he tells him back, Omar, you keep on asking this question. If I knew the answer, I would have told you. If I figured out what the answer is, wouldn't I have sent it to you? In other words, I'm still in a suffix situation. Rav Ami was certain that it's Zenenev Zelachoser is potter, and Rav Chiya bar Abba wasn't sure. No. Itmar, they said in the base Medrash, Rav Kahana Omar Rav Yochanan, Rav Kahana said in Rav Yochanan, Eino Tzarech Lalus L'Schar. He paskin, Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav Yochanan, that you don't have to go pay the schar. Zenene, v'zelo os, v'lo choser. So in this situation, Reuven lived there, and Shimon wasn't renting it out anyway. Reuven would not have to pay rent. Whereas Rabbi Avo said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rav Omar Rav Yochanan, Tzarech Lalus L'Schar. He said the exact opposite, that Rav Yochanan held that you would have to go pay the rent. Now, Rav Papa said that which Rav Avo said in the name of Yochanan, Tzarech Lalus L'Schar, he didn't say it Beferish. Hodr Rav Avo, lo Beferish Itmar, Ela Miklali Itmar. He didn't say it Beferish, he only said it as a learning, an implication from that which Rav Yochanan had said. And what was that? It's not. Because we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Me'ilah, where it says, not tell Evan O'Korosh L'Hektish. Rashi says that Mishnah in Me'ilah is talking about the Gizbar, the treasurer, who has the rights to the Evan and the Korosh of Hektish. It's in his possession as Hektish. So if this treasurer, the Gizbar, took the Evan or the Korosh, the stone or the beam of Hektish, and he went and took it for himself, so it didn't leave the Rishus of Hektish. So there's no yet Me'ilah in that situation. However, Nisono L'Chavero, if this Gizbar gave it to a friend of his, so now it left Hektish, it went into a friend's possession, so the Gizbar, who? Mal. The Gizbar is Mal, because he caused the loss of Hektish. He took this accidentally and gave it to his friend, and therefore, this is Me'ila done by the Gizbar. The Chavero Mal, the Chavero didn't do anything, so therefore he's not Mal. Now, if instead of giving to the friend, binol l'sok peso, if the Gizbar built it into his house, so harez elo mo'al, at sheyodur tachte ha'shav pruta. In this situation, since you could take it out of the house, he didn't get any benefit from it yet, so only when he gets benefit from living there, he gets a shav pruta benefit, so then he now is mo'al on it. But on my Shmuel said about this, we're dealing here with binol l'sok peso, fu shenicha api aruba. He's talking here that he just put the beam up over the skylight, and he didn't actually attach it. And in that situation, when he gets benefit from it, now he's moel on it. But just putting it up there, he's not over me'ila. Now, Rabbi Avo heard this statement of Shmuel, the Yosef Rabbi Avo, Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. He was sitting and learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan, the Kama Mishmei de Shmuel, and he said over what Shmuel said, that until he actually lives underneath it and gets a Shavu Pruta, so then he's Chayv me'ila, but not if he just put it up there. Zoso Maris. So this implies, Rabbi Avo said to Rabbi Yochanan, based upon what Shmuel said, Hador b'chotzer chavero, shalom idaito. If Reuven is living in the chotzer of Shimon, with either Shimon not knowing or not complaining, tzarech lalos l'schar, you do have to pay the schar. Because here, the Hekdish doesn't know that this beam is up there, so to say. We'll see in a moment that's not true. And yet, you have to go and pay Me'ila because you got benefit from it. So this is a case of Zen Nene, Vizel Lo Choser, and we say over here that you are in fact Chayiv. So therefore, Rav Yochanan holds Zen Nene, Vizel Lo Choser, you're Chayiv. You have to give the schar. You have to pay the rent. And Rav Yochanan didn't say anything. V'shasekle. Rav Yochanan didn't respond to Rav Avo, seemingly implying, Iyu Sabah Midashasik Modele. He's saying, Shtika Koda. However, that's not true. Velohi, Ashkuchi lo Ashkachbe. He paid no attention whatsoever. He said, you're totally wrong. Because, Kidderabba, this case where you're saying when you put up the beam, Hektish knows everything. Kidderabba, the rabbi said, the Amar Rabba, rabbi says, Hektish shlomi das. There's no such thing as Hektish shlomi das. As Rashi says over here in the bottom, Rashi, the Hektish lekol and Neymar. You can't say by Hektish shlomi das. The das shchina iko Hakosh Baruch knows everything. Hilkoch kehedjot midas domi. So hektish has always the status. Hektish shlomi das. We turn to chof aleph omer aleph. Hektish always has the status kehedjot midas domi, as if the person knew and protested. So therefore, in this situation, that's why you're chayev. But you can't bring a saraya that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, because in fact, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like that statement of Shmuel. And in fact, Tosos in the bottom of Chof Omid Beis says, Eshkuchel Oshkach Bey, Ushmuel Atzmo Hodebey. He himself retracted this position in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So therefore, Rabbi Yavo was incorrect in saying that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorech, that you have to go and pay the rent. This case was different because it is hektish, and you can't bring that to a regular case. And you can't prove from here that Zenene v'zelochaser is chayiv. You could argue Zenene v'zelochaser, according to Yochanan, here is potter as well. With this, we conclude today's shiur.